Welcome back to YouTube with the boys. Today we have a fantastic episode on Ludwig's World's Greatest Gamer Stream.
I had fun, yes. I did have fun.
That's good.
Do you think we'll be friends forever?
No.
That's all my questions.
Wow.
So I think like a little over a week ago, Ludwig did a stream titled YouTube Gaming's World's Greatest, in which he decided to seek out and find the world's greatest gamer. He took a bunch of creators and gamers who are the highest echelon in their esport, whether it be something like Dota, Valorant, Melee, COD, and he took them all and he made them compete in a series of games, including Minecraft, Fall Guys, Tetris, and a lot of other interesting things to figure out who the world's greatest gamer was. And I believe the winner won a cash prize. So the people who participated in this event were Asu, Boxbox, Clayster, Connor Eats Pants, E-Rob, Jaden Animations, Jerax, Loserfruit, Mango, Nemo, Rizzo, Shifter, Small Ant, Sonic Fox, Super TF, Tens, Universe Void, Zekin. Whew. That's a lot of people. And I think the event was pretty good. I think Ludwig's stream MO has kind of become doing these bigger events. I think that, you know, of course he has his normal streams, which are just a few hours, and I think pretty entertaining, but every few months or every few weeks he seems to put on a big event, and this was one of them. I thought that this event was good, and I think people know that I'm a Ludwig fan, but I felt like it should have been better. And I don't know how that, to phrase that without it making sense. So you have all these amazing creators, right? You have all these people who are, you know, so funny, like E-Rob, Connor Eats Pants, Loserfruit, Small Ant, Mango. I'm naming the people I know. These are all very beautiful. Jaden Animations. These are all very funny people that I watch, you know, and know outside of this competition, and they're awesome. They're hilarious. And yet, there felt like this kind of aura or just vibe within the competition where it wasn't as funny. Now, I'm not saying it wasn't good, but there were parts that were good, but there were parts that really dragged. I think, like, for example, I think some of the larger matches, like the Minecraft and the Trackmania, those two are specifically, before I get into LEGO 2K Drive, which was another issue altogether. But those were a bit more boring. It was kind of hard to get into it. I mean, I'm not saying the commentary wasn't good or the gameplay wasn't good, but it was lacking a bit of kind of spice for having such amazing people there. And then some of the more highlights were the CSGO 1v1s were really great because that was a really intense atmosphere where it was just kind of this 1v1. You could focus on these two people and really see them go at it. And that was really fun, really enjoyable.
Connor on the mic here. Connor, eat pan.
Eat pan.
I play good games.
You play good games? All right, man. You seem tense right now. I see that shaking.
I couldn't even aim at the end.
Well, any words to the people at home?
If the like spray pattern wasn't as RNG, I think that could have been pretty.
Yeah,
it's practicable and learnable.
Give it to him.
That's the thing that sucks about CS is that the spray patterns are not set and you can't
Connor,
practice.
When you're right, you're right.
Yeah, I love that about you.
And so people could add their own flair, and the Tetris was the same way. But I felt like it was too built too much as a competition, if that makes sense. And now I understand that you have people here who are competing for a cash prize, and yeah, that's fun and that's impressive, and we want them to give them their all. But a lot of these people, I feel like, are funny. And I thought it could have, you know, benefited for some more banter. And they did have some fun challenges and stuff like that to make things more interesting and allow people to gain more points. But I felt like unless I was watching, like, an individual stream, a lot of the times things just lagged. Specifically, I want to talk about LEGO 2K Drive. So I think, I'm almost positive that they were sponsored for some games. I mean, YouTube Gaming put this together, and they had some sponsored games that they played, right? And I think LEGO 2K Drive was one of them. Because LEGO 2K Drive was this game that decided the kind of like the rankings for how Street Fighter would be chosen. So like it wasn't even a game that counted for points. It was a game that like whoever got first got to choose who they were facing in Street Fighter, basically. And it went on for so long.
It was around an hour and a half of straight driving.
They did like 7-8 races, and you have Void winning all of these because he practiced. And it's like, dude, I know you're sponsored by this game, but I did, this gameplay was just uninteresting. I did not want to see that much of LEGO 2K Drive, and I imagine that was some corporate deal that they were making. You know, I'm pretty sure Ludwig mentioned that this was kind of like to build better relations with like game developers and stuff, but like, dude, this, it kind of dragged, and it was not very fun to watch. I watched it because I took it upon myself to watch it for this podcast, but it wasn't good. And I think some were similar like that. Like, I enjoyed the Minecraft stuff, but some of the time it just wasn't as entertaining. And I think obviously these types of competitions are more entertaining in an edited format, but I think it suffered in a way that was more than that, considering the personalities that were there. And maybe that's because it came from a corporate source. I remember I am an avid Yard listener, so that's why I think you should take my criticism of this seriously. But I was listening to the Yard, and Aiden is on the Yard, and Aiden usually does events for Ludwig and like Mogul Mail, but he, not Mogul Mail, but like the Mogul Moves company. And he specifically like said he stopped working on this one for a time because he didn't think it would be very good and it wasn't entertaining. And Ludwig said he turned it around. And I bet he did to a certain extent. But it was, I feel like you could have made it more fun by like people drafting teams and, you know, that and some kind of trash talking and maybe some challenges here and there, like you win this to get an advantage here that's not just ranking. I don't know, because like it's World's Greatest Gamer, but I want to like watch World's Greatest Gamer to see Sonic Fox beat up on everybody in Street Fighter, and we didn't get to see that, which just kind of sucks. And it was entertaining, and there were some moments like I was following Conrad's pants for a lot of it. I was rooting for him, and he's always great. He was funny. And E-Rob did great. He made it to the finals, which was, E-Rob's great, so that was good too. And it was a funny combination to see people talking in the background. You just have a lot of these random dudes who like come from all these different, you know, places in esports who are, yeah, technically in the same industry, but they're in different spheres still. And it was fun to see them come together, but it was a bit lackluster in my opinion. I don't know what I would have done to make it better. But they had, like, a fair set. They had good casters. I think it should have been structured differently. That's all I'm going to say. Like, Loser Fru is flying from Australia for that? For to sit there and play, like, Trackmania? It didn't feel great. I think you need to... They were all sitting at separate computers. And I think this goes... I'm normally not a fan of esports. And I know that's tough, right? Like, people love esports, and I know this is kind of built off of esports, but I've never been that into it. Because you're kind of watching gameplay that, yeah, it's elite, but I don't know. It's not entertaining for me. I enjoy streams. So I think that why Ludwig is good, because he's a streamer. And I know he likes to put on events like this, but I think it missed the element, a streamer element, of making it entertaining beyond gameplay. I would rather watch a funny Rocket League video where people are joking around and having fun, a funny Call of Duty video, than professional Call of Duty. That's me personally, but I also think that's most of the internet. And I think that a competition like this could have benefited from that because it was so long. It was 2 days you had to keep up with, and so many games you had to keep up with that it just, it didn't, I watched all of this. I finished it through, and at the end, you know, you had Void and E-Rob squaring off in Pong. That was like the secret mystery game at the end, which someone called in the beginning. Right, they were like, oh, I bet it's Pong, and it ended up being Pong.
Today, you guys are playing Pong. Oh. Thank you to Atari for making it happen. We got Pong, the father, the grandfather of all video games, to settle it all. It's a best of seven, first to 11. You guys have a couple minutes to warm up right now. Get to warming up. We're going to go to the couch.
And it was fun. It was good. It was a good ending. But, dude, honestly, I finished. Void ended up winning. So, really good on Void. He got the title of World's Greatest Gamer. And I was like, that was not worth it. Can you imagine? It's never like I finished watching this event, and I know I watched it definitely like much longer than the average viewer. But I finished, and I was immediately like, "That's not worth it," and that's never the immediate reaction you want your event to give. Yeah, I think it could have been more gamified, more fun, kind of more gimmicky, and I think it would have benefited from that. Honestly, that's what I'll say. But could you have found the true World's Greatest Gamer that way? I don't know. I don't know if that's the case. But overall, I think it was pretty good, but not one of Ludwig's better events. I think he's done better stuff, and I think he is. Like, I think what was this game show called? Mogul Money? I think Mogul Money was, like, most of those episodes were better and more entertaining. And all that, I watched in a video where like Ludwig or streamer Ludwig was playing games with like just like Tina Kitten, Foosley, Valkyrie, and that felt more entertaining. Honestly, I think he, you know, used his ability as a kind of a prominent streamer in connection with YouTube, and not as you know, someone who's funny in his ability as an entertainer. And that's what I'll say. Yeah.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
One of the interesting things that I saw, and this has since been kind of like squashed, so I still feel more comfortable talking about it. So I just like, I want everybody to know that this is not like a problem anymore. They're not beefing, it's all figured out. But Tommy Innit on his vlog channel, Tom Simons, did a lie detector test with Jacksepticeye on it. And Jacksepticeye was basically like, oh, like, I don't like, somehow it came up that he's like, I don't like Mr. Beast. I think he changed YouTube to make it more focused on views instead of like, you know, having fun and stuff like that.
Yeah, a completely unrelated question. Do you like Mr. Beast?
No.
Jack. Oh! Do you think Mr. Beast ruined YouTube?
Yes.
Ooh. Now, in all honesty, Jack, why?
Because it became more about views, money, and popularity than it did about having fun.
You just don't think you had fun playing Squid Games? You don't think you had fun riding on yachts?
If he
building
had,
wells if, in Africa? I don't know.
If he had fun doing those videos, they'd be longer. We'd see the fun.
Ooh. Ooh.
I thought you were going to get me with that one, didn't you?
And Mr. Beast saw this on Twitter and went off on this like long tangent and like you know, like that I put like my blood, sweat, and tears in YouTube. I love YouTube and stuff like that, right? Like, of course I do it for the enjoyment in it. And then eventually it came like under that same, like the he deleted his tweet and they're like, oh, we talked. And Jack said, I replied to him like under, it was like, we Gucci. But I think Jack brought up an interesting point, and I think it's worth talking about, which is, has, you know, Mr. Beast has definitely changed YouTube. With the amount of imitations of Mr. Beast alone, you know, of course he's made an impact on the platform. I mean, he's the most subscribed to creator. But is it for the better? That's the question. And I find myself almost agreeing with Jacksepticeye. And I'll phrase it like this, okay. So Mr. Beast, I have no doubt in my mind, loves YouTube. I know he lives and breathes YouTube. He wants to crack the system. He wants to be the best YouTuber that he can be. Right? Yeah. So he's gonna make videos that he has fun. He has fun making, but he's gonna make videos that are gonna get views. He's gonna do things that are entertaining to watch. Right? And we'll say, like, they do get views, and they are entertaining to watch, but there's this artificialness to them, right? Like, everything is done in a meticulous manner. Every second of the video is manicured in, you know, created for the sake of getting views. Everything is down to this science. And I think, at least, what I probably think that Jack was saying is, like, I think that even though he loves it, the fact that we all, you know, have to give up on our creative values in a certain stance to worry about the algorithms, worry about getting that 1 out of 10, you know, the most amount of, you know, views you want on an episode, that takes some of the joy about it. I mean, because I don't think, the thing is, people back then, you know, when they were making YouTube videos, they weren't making them to, you know, use the algorithm right. They were hoping to get an audience, but they were making videos that they wanted to make, that, like, they were playing games that they enjoyed, right? And hoping that people enjoyed watching that. And the simplicity of that is a beautiful thing. The simplicity of a niche community created by playing, of Jacksepticeye playing, like, random indie games that are perhaps even less entertaining than Mr. Beast videos, but the fact that some people, you know, found that entertaining and it created this community, I think that's beautiful. And there's also something amazing and intrinsically beautiful in the sense that Mr. Beast, you know, loved YouTube so much and grew up on it that he wanted to understand virality so bad, and he cracked the code. And he has made a community that goes beyond niche and is getting, you know, people from every single country and putting on these massive productions. But there's a sense of, you know, it's not for the aspect of the creative process. It's for the aspect of YouTube itself. YouTube is feeding into it itself. Like, Mr. Beast is a machine that creates YouTube videos to get money to put back into the YouTube videos for the sake of YouTube. In that difference in purpose, I think, is a bit disheartening as someone, like, you know, who grew up on kind of like the very, like, mom and pop shop channels almost, you know, back when, you know, things were just people posting videos. It's people posting videos. It's just creators posting videos, if I had to put it that way. And I'm not one to oppose this. I think that, of course, with rose-tinted glasses, I miss it. I think it's easy to miss it. I mean, I associate it with my childhood. Who wouldn't miss their childhood in those years where you could just come home and watch countless YouTube videos? I'm sure people in years are crazy to say this, going to miss Mr. Beast and such like that, in that area of YouTube. And even I missed, like, Mr. Beast back when he was giving out less money and, like, you could do the circle videos and all that. But I think it's just, change is not necessarily bad. I think, you know, maybe we'll get more entertaining videos for the sake of people trying to get views. But I think there's, you know, something that you can't help wanting to get back. And I imagine seeing things change around you, you know, I imagine Jacksepticeye loves a platform and seeing it change. And I imagine his own life has changed and he's getting older and it all accumulates into maybe associating with Mr. Beast, which is fair, not really fair. But I imagine that's hard. So I think that's probably where he's coming from. And I think we're going in a different direction of YouTube. It has changed. Is it for the better or worse? I don't know. But I don't think it's right to fight it. I'll say that much. I don't think I have anything else to say this week. Thank you guys for your time. I'll see you next time.